At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
True or false, Rob? Right-wing media this week obviously started talking about, and Reform started talking about, swans. Was Charlie Kirk's media organization involved in spreading that rumor? True or false? What do you think?
Wouldn't be surprised. I don't know anything about this story, but I'm going to say true.
You think true? Madge?
I'm going to go with false.
It is true. The original rumour of that swans being eaten by migrants came from Charlie Kirk's organisation, and the papers went crazy over it.
TPUSA? Was it Turning Point?
Turning Point. But UK, the UK outlet. So, okay. Question two, Madge. According to the UFO congressional meeting this week, a UFO was hit by a Hellfire missile and it was caught on camera. True or false?
I'd go with false.
Rob?
Well, it depends what you mean. I mean, I think that you're telling the truth, that was the story, but did it actually happen? No, of course not. So,
which one do you go with?
I'm going for true, I guess.
It is true, and it is on camera. What the actual fuck? I said UAP, so don't know what it is, but something is hit by a Hellfire missile, and it separates on camera. And it continues moving regardless. It is, and the Hellfire missile doesn't blow up, which is even weirder. So it impacts something, flies through it, and the object splinters, but continues to move in the same direction. No one knows what that is. Like, no one's come up with a conclusion as to what that is. Rob, this week, Boris Johnson defended immigration.
That's right, he did. I was shocked, and that is definitely true. What a turn up for the books, but he did, indeed.
Madge?
Yeah, that one's true.
Yes! Fucking weird! We're living in the Twilight Zone! Nothing makes any sense anymore. he even suggested that the numbers that were indicating that it was the Boris Brexit wave were false. He said that on Harry's, like, they're made up. It's just not real. And you're like, oh my god. Full Trump conspiracy theories. Final one, Madge. Trump has decided that he wants to put crocodiles in a moat around servers to prevent hackers from getting into the servers.
That's good. I'm going to say true. It feels like bait. It feels like good bait, but I'm going to say true.
Rob?
I can't. Is Trump even that dumb?
Yes.
Did you listen to him in the UN?
Well, yeah.
He said
paracetamol causes autism.
He said Sadiq Khan's trying to do Sharia law in London, or he's done Sharia law. It's like, brother, like, what are you talking about?
Can I ask you a question? When he instructed these crocodiles to be put in the moat around the surf, did he tell them to make it snappy? Because if that's the story, I don't believe it.
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, it's false. Can I mulligan my answer?
No, it is false. I'm saying yes, that's what he instructed them to do. Make it snappy. No, of all the things that Trump has done, he is not.
It was bait.
There was the Florida Alcatraz, wasn't there, where he's planning to put a prison in the middle of the Florida.
Oh, he's done it.
In the hope that if anybody tried to escape, the alligators would have them.
Pretty much, yeah. That was part of the really make it terrifying. In fact, I've asked guests this every week now. Which one do you think is better, Guantanamo Bay or Alligator Alcatraz? So, Rob, I'm going to put this bonus round. Who has a library, Alligator Alcatraz or Guantanamo Bay?
Oh, a library. I would think probably Guantanamo Bay. Because, like, I think Alligator Alcatraz is meant to be Guantanamo Bay on steroids, isn't it? So they probably wouldn't have a library there.
Correct.
Okay.
Guantanamo Bay or Alligator Alcatraz, who has a computer room where you can play football games?
Again, I'd say Guantanamo Bay. I think
You are correct.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to turbocharge the penality of Alligator Alcatraz.
But they've made a terrorist hub better quality.
Yeah.
Than migrants. Like one of migrants who just crossed the border supposedly to get a better life. It's
anyway.
Right, shall we get on with it? Welcome everyone to the Sunday Roast. And welcome to our special guest, Rob. This must be your fifth time, but I'm still gonna ask you to introduce yourself.
It must be, yeah. It's been a while though. It's been a ça fait un bain, as they say in French. Or ça fait un bain, I should say. I'm Rob Groves. I've been running the Truth to Power YouTube channel for the last 3 years or so on YouTube. Talking originally about Brexit, but increasingly more about the threat posed by Reform 2025 Limited, and also just the toxicity of the Trump administration and how some of the rhetoric is now being imported by our own far-right organisations in the UK. So those are my main focuses of interest. What else do you need to know? I'm 30 years old, give or take, and I live in the... Anything else?
Inside leg measurement.
33, yeah.
I am actually going to have to edit that out because I don't want people knowing where your base is. There's too many lunatics out there.
To be honest, Alex, I get death threats and things. Honestly, I do. I'm too old to...
Have you really?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I assume just for your YouTube channel.
Just on the comments. Saying, we know where you live. I've had, you're going to find yourself dead in a ditch one day. Somebody said, yeah, but not for a while. I've had about 4 or 5 months of death threat-free life, but it does happen. Yeah, there's a lot of hate out there.
Is it over a particular topic in your videos, or is it just... I'm so sorry to hear that as well. That's terrible.
No, it's okay. I mean, I don't think there's anything particular. I think it's more the sort of Brexit stuff. I think, to be fair, I mean, like I said, it's been a while. Since I have that sort of hate directed at comments. Obviously, as I'm sure you do, Alex, you get trolls that come on and it's just expletives and things. And I think a lot of it's probably Russian bot factory stuff. But I've not had anything sort of serious for many months. I think the temperature's cooled on Brexit, let's be honest, because even us ardent, Remainers, it's a dead horse now, isn't it? It's,
agree. I think it's just burning in the background. It just needs a major party to...
Burning to, or to pick up that smouldering. Torch. I think smouldering. Maybe. I'll go with smouldering. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? The emotion's gone out of it from where it was. I think a lot of Brexit voters were so much in denial. It was sort of the frustration and the anger was sort of they were just trying to deflect it from themselves to people like us that were just telling the truth. Really.
The truth, yeah, truth to power. Can you introduce yourself?
They know who I am.
Okay, let's get on with it then.
Yeah. Alex, do they know who you are?
Positive. Do they know about my book? I'm sure they will do by the end.
What's the name of your book? I don't know what it is.
What is that book on your bookcase there, Alex?
Yeah. What's that one? I've not seen that. I've not heard you mention it before.
Have you not?
I'm scared. I'm scared. The audience don't know about it.
I will do a plug at the end. I'm going to save our time. You guys are very sweet. It's called Manufactured Fear. Link in the description. I don't think Brexit's dead. I really don't. I think I agree with you. I think there's smouldering. I think if one of the opposition parties picks up that mantle, like the Greens or the Lib Dems, it could reignite it very quickly as a serious policy. 60 to 70% under 25s, under 30s, 70%. They're like, can we please rejoin? Why do we have to wait around more? Like, everyone knows it's a failure.
Well, let me qualify. It's a dead horse as long as Starmer's in charge, I think. And of course, the first step is to get buy-in from the EU. I mean, the question is, do they really want us back at this stage? And I don't think that's quite going to happen yet.
But Rob, Starmer's a Remainer. He, of course, he backs us joining the EU.
Yeah.
He backed a second referendum.
Yeah.
He backed nationalizing the waterworks, the electricity, and the
whoa, whoa, whoa. He never said those things. Those are allegedly. No, he will deny that.
First of all, raise your hands if you're into scrapping tuition fees. That's everyone. Renationalizing water and electricity. Yeah.
I never made a commitment to nationalization. I never made a commitment to nationalization.
Apart from I've got footage, camera footage. Which,
No. He denied that. Yeah, and you're putting words in. You've AI'd him. You've got an AI socialist Starmer. That's what you've done. That's fake news. That's what you've done there. Nasty work, guys.
God, we really are becoming more and more Trump. Do you think? I think there's an element of it being dead in the knowledge that reform could be the next party. And interestingly, a news story broke this afternoon, Thursday when we record. News story broke this afternoon claiming McSweeney has been swindling $750,000 away. Or hidden it in the background. Madge, can you explain to our viewers a little bit more what's been going on?
From what I read, and this is a story from actually a couple of years ago, but someone that's not linked to the podcast, so I'm not going to plug their book, is releasing a book about it, about fraud. And he hid a load of donations from the Electoral Commission. And the Labour Party was his group that were fined about £14,000, for hiding about £740,000 worth of donations. This guy is meant to be a tactical genius, by the way. So it's kind of come back into public knowledge, especially because they want to tank Starmer as well. Because this story is a couple of years old, well before the election. So that's the most recent thing I've read about it. It's just come back in because everyone hates Starmer. So, and that guy's got his book coming out. So yeah, it was a massive operation for them to get Starmer in, and we can kind of see the results of it, which is he just listens to what they say. He won't get rid of a bunch of scumbags in his team. I mean, Morgan McSweeney, the guy who brought in Mandelson as well, such genius moves as cutting your nan's winter fuel allowance, cutting the PIP payments, cutting welfare. So you might remember him from those kind of things. So absolute genius of a man he is. Political titan. Starmer's got the highest disapproval rating above Rishi Sunak in the space of less than a year. So he's done something that Dominic Cummings and the gang could never do. Historic lows.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, you brought up, there was so much that's gone on this week. I had forgotten Sarah Ferguson's been implicated in the Epstein files again. That was another, literally, before we came on air, we had, 10 stories I've reeled off for us to pick from?
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten Sarah Ferguson was defending Epstein after he'd been arrested and sent to prison. And you're going...
Yeah, didn't even make your top 10.
Yeah. the charities have dumped her, but no talk about a police investigation again. Mm. And we know that there is a Sarah Ferguson that's been listed on the flights. Not saying it's this Sarah Ferguson, but there is a Sarah Ferguson in the flight logs on Epstein's private jet. But let's go back to the McSweeney. You reckon it's done and dusted, or do you think it's a new story that will rumble on in the background?
It might rumble on to that book's published. I mean, this story's pretty old. The media barely covered it at the time, partly because there was Tory stuff going on, and partly now they want to get rid of Starmer because no one's got that much faith in him. It's why they keep asking Burnham, oh, does he want to be leader of the Labour Party? Because it's an easy story for them to write about. But I think with McSweeney, he's just not that great a tactician at all. He's proved himself to be very flawed to the point where they want a dude from Manchester who's their mayor to essentially leave his job as a mayor and run against Starmer. That's how badly it's going at the moment. You know, he's talking about how what's his name, Burnham's talking about how he's become a bit more radical and talked about aspirational socialism. So he's got some sort of vision. You know, he's nationalized the buses in Manchester as well, which is great for them because their bus fare is fucking cheaper than mine, and I don't live in a city, so that's great. Thanks, mate. Yes, I'm annoyed. But he's done a great thing for them, and so he's actually got something he's aiming towards. Whereas what's Starmer aiming towards, apart from, you know, stupid fiscal rules?
I think I'm happy to be critical of Starmer, and I warned everyone before the election he won't fix
anything. We warned everyone. We
warned everyone.
We warned
that
he
wouldn't fix anything before the election. We got shouted down about it. I'll still say, I'll give him his due. I feel like he's done stuff with the NHS, and I think it still will take about 18 months before that starts to really take on an effect. You know, I'm happy to give... If he's done the good work there, I'm happy to give it to him. I've got no problem with that. The rest of it is a shit show. I don't believe the economy is going to fix itself. I think people who have got money are gravitating towards the Reform Party. He won't stand up to Trump. I don't see any economic plan that's going to come to the forefront to reduce everyone's cost of living. And that's one of the biggest issues. He's jumped on the bandwagon of migration, which ironically this week Boris Johnson was saying is a good thing. I mean, what the are we in the Twilight Zone, Rob? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how have we got to a situation where Boris Johnson is on air saying, who do you want to kick out? Ukrainians?
Who are you going to kick out? The Ukrainians? You want to kick out the Ukrainians?
No.
You want to kick out the Hong Kong Chinese?
Well, look, the blue line, the blue line, the blue line is...
You want to kick out the nurses?
Boris.
Who do you want to kick out? Boris. On the legal... actually, we have a problem of emigration.
We've tried telling that to people who can't get their kids into a school, whose killed children can't get jobs.
We've got people fleeing this country at the moment.
Very rich people,
because of the taxes. If we want zero nurses, if we want nobody to come in for social care, if you want, we can have zero, right? That's our ability now.
Hong Kong Chinese, no. The nurses, no. Care workers, no. Doctors, no. Who are you going to kick out? And I was like, I've not heard anyone bring that up. Mm. And now we've got the biggest proponent of Brexit going out and saying, actually, we need migrants. He came very close to saying my key point, 500,000 a year are leaving. And the commentator, Harry Coles, only commented that the rich were leaving because obviously they think they're the most important people. Not the doctors, not the nurses, not the construction workers leaving, the mega rich. And you're going, no, 500,000 a year leaving is a fuck up. But it was wild to see Boris Johnson saying stuff that is almost common sense. What are your thoughts, Rob?
I think, like with everything else, Starmer seems to have completely misplayed the whole situation. I mean, I think if you talk to the people on the street, and I've been doing a bit of Vox Pop recently near where I live. Oh, it didn't go well, to be honest. I live in a Lib Dem constituency, but it's quite incredible the sort of the wave of hatred, and you know, we're besotted by Union Jacks, and people have gone down to the park and painted England flags on all the swans and that sort of thing. Sorry, you probably heard that joke somewhere else. Got their crayons out, you know. But the thing is, there's two very separate issues. There's, first of all, I mean, I agree with, I've never said this phrase before, I agree with Boris Johnson. Of course, we need migration into the country for jobs that British workers are either don't want to do or are incapable of doing, because the education and training in this country has declined so much over the last few decades. But of course, you know, the big thing, the media attention is all on the boats crossing the channel, which is a tiny, tiny proportion of overall immigration. But that's what they're banging on about all the time. Mm-hmm. I think if Starmer was to extricate himself from this with credit, he needs somehow, his focus needs to be to separate those two issues. When it comes to immigration, I'm as liberal as they come on immigration, and not being a little islander at all. But even like, there's something British in me that says the people crossing the channel in the small boats, they're basically cheating, they're jumping the queue. Mm. And then the argument is, yeah, but there is no queue because the Tories closed down every legal channel of entry. And that's absolutely right. Starmer needs to open those channels back up, and then he needs to be a lot more strong, strict on the boats. And this one-in, one-out policy with France, I think, you know, I get what he was trying to achieve, but my God, it's making him look stupid. As we talk today, the number of people that have been exchanged, I think it's like 3 or 4 maybe now. It's just, you know, sod all. Absolutely sod all.
It's going to be worth the risk. People are going to think it's worth the risk.
They will.
Numbers aren't... Sorry, Rob.
No, you're right. I mean, it's this idea that, oh, it's a deterrent, which is what Sunak was saying about Rwanda. But the fact is, the biggest deterrent is crossing those treacherous waters in a tiny, overloaded dinghy and fleeing from whatever horrors they're fleeing from. I really don't think a policy like that is going to really be
let's target the two things. Rwanda was also brought up by Boris Johnson in that interview. I have been saying it for ages. It's a replica of the Nazi program, which was the Madagascar program. Find somewhere in Africa and send these people that we don't want all the way over there. It is a replica of it. The fact also is, and this is also wild, because Trump was banging on about how he stopped all these wars, and he claimed that he had created peace in Rwanda and the Congo. But it turns out that Rwanda are financing a terrorist group in the Congo called M23. I have no doubt that the money that we gave them has been used for that. I have no doubt that the homes they built for us have now been sold off, and the money will be used for financing that terror organization. And the irony with all of that talk about peace in the Congo and Rwanda, the governments might have had that conversation. But according to outlets who have spoken to M23, they're not part of it. They're not. They haven't been part of that discussion. They've still got to have that discussion. You're going, well, then it's meaningless because it's one and the same thing. So you've got a Nazi program that sponsors terrorism, and we're backing it, and Boris Johnson wants to continue it. Oh, sorry, we're not backing it. Boris Johnson wants to continue it. And then I've got to ask, today, Labour have announced they want all Britons to have an ID, electronic ID. So if you go for a job, you've got to provide an ID to be able to secure that position. And they think this is the thing that will solve immigration and the refugees coming over the channel, because then they suddenly won't be able to get work. And I'm like, yeah, but there's still always going to be a cash economy. Like,
yeah,
you've got to be crazy to think that. Like, go on, Madge, I can see you want to say something.
How does that stop anyone? Because the issue is, like, they're doing jobs like delivery and stuff like that, right? How does that stop anyone from doing delivery? Are you going to have to be, as a customer, say, look, mate, I'm going to have to check your ID real quick before I take this kebab? Like, fuck off. Like, grow up. I was going to say, you know, Shabana Mahmood's talking about changing the Modern Slavery Act, I think it is. Because there was a man from Eritrea that they wanted to send back to France. And he appealed the decision. The courts backed the dude. And now she wants to start repealing bits of the Modern Slavery Act in order to get around this. So it's very good. We're winning, you know, very much winning here with this party. You know, off air, we talked about how the court's backlog is at its record highest. And this absolute donut in Starmer, you know, swapped the ministers around. So the minister who was dealing with was Shabana Mahmood, who is now going to war with the courts, was the person inside in charge of justice. So you've just switched out a person who could have been dealing with the court backlog if they weren't a complete moron. And now you swapped them out for David Lammy, who was foreign secretary. And now he's going to have to figure out all of this stuff and figure out a way to deal with the massive increase in, you know, the amount of prisoners we have in this country, as well as deal with the court backlog. But then, and you've got a chancellor who doesn't want to spend any fucking money.
But crime's going down. This is another wild thing. Yeah. Crime is going down, but we haven't built any brand new prisons. And so that's part of the reason that you've got this issue with the prisons. And then it comes back to that bigger thing. It's almost like there's a pot of money, but there's only enough to go into one sector. So if you put it all into the NHS and clear that back, you're not going to have any money to go into the justice system and the prison system to fix those issues.
What the calculation they've made is we've got a limited amount of resources because they're dumb fiscal rules. So what we're going to do is spend it in a way where the voters will get the most, not the most benefit, the most perceived benefit, and therefore they'll vote for us again. So the NHS waiting list is, you know, is obviously very important because, you know, a lot of people use the National Health Service versus the amount of people who would use the courts, and you're used to a backlog court system. You know, cases are known for being very long and take many years, whereas if your routine knee operation takes more than 6 months, you're going to be fuming. So it kind of makes sense on that end, but I think there is more money, there should be more money available really for all of the projects that we need to get going, because waiting, you know, I think it was a Secret Barrister, they put out an article, might have been a year ago or so, where he talked about how it's affecting, you know, obviously the people who are the victims of crimes, because they're having to wait many years, especially for complicated crimes, to get processed. But also it affects the defendants, because if you've got a case hanging above your head, A, you can lose your employment.
Yep.
Your job can immediately fire you, and B, it might take many years for your name to actually be cleared. And so in that bit of time, you're gonna have no avenue to actually live a life until it gets sorted. That's the whole point of you have your day in court. It works for both sides. They've got to do more to actually resolve these issues.
It makes me almost go full circle in what you were saying, Rob. Is there a solution where we could get 40 billion in tax from somewhere, Rob?
Oh, I think that's fairly easy, to be honest.
That's like money tree.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, first of all, this is it. I mean, if you listen to Richard Murphy, I don't know if it's somebody you follow, but I mean, he says we're going about it all wrong in terms of, you know, we're treating the UK economy as though it's a household budget, and it's just so completely the wrong way of looking at it. I mean, we can print our own money. And people say, yeah, runaway inflation, but what happened in 1930s Germany? But if you're spending that money on investment projects that are going to provide a return, there's no inflationary impact or very limited. You know, he's watered down things like the Green New Deal because there's no money. But, you know, it's shot himself in the foot. That would have led to far more economic growth. It wouldn't have led to inflation. We'd print the money. It's being spent on investment that's going to provide a return. they've just got the whole thing wrong. And just picking up on what you were saying, Madge, you know, about the fact, you know, Labour in government, the popularity is going through the floor. So what does he do? Rather than swapping people out of the team and in, OK, he's done it one or two, but he's basically played musical chairs. He swapped them all around. So you've got Shabib Mahmood now moved around. David Lammy, a year of building up all these foreign ties and knowledge and experience and everything. And they move into the bloody court system to look after that. You know, it's a... and like you say, I forgot, Mahmood, isn't it?
Shabada, yeah.
Shabada Mahmood. You know, again, like you said, Madge, she's spent a year really learning about this, getting the experience of that particular sector, and now she's moved out. We've lost it. It's just, is it McSweeney?
Yeah.
Oh,
it is weird, isn't it? Imagine like learning about football for a year and then switching to rugby and expecting
you to
just... It's like, no, you're playing basketball. It's like, you can carry the ball with your hands. What?
Yeah,
you're not the goalkeeper, huh? That's
crazy.
That's
what he's doing. That is what he's done. It's just such a...
I think with this phase two stuff, they announced it, and then immediately a week later, you've got the whole Reina situation. And I think there was another scandal just after that, and you're like, oof.
Yeah.
Phase two in absolute idiocy. But he's not that bright. And I think it's kind of been found out he's not very good at this. Same thing with Dominic Cummings. Everyone thought he's a genius the way he won the 2019 election. And then you find out, no, he's just a fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. I would come back to, I'm going to make this a bit unpopular. It's not something I feel very strongly about, but I do put a question mark. I'm not too, maybe as angry as I should be about the identity card thing. I can, you know, having spent a lot of time in France, it's very normal over there. And I tell you what, the one thing I'd say, why do you defend the security? Yeah, of course, I'm worried about government oversight and control of information and all the rest of it. But there is one thing, is the new rules on voter eligibility where you have to take along your
proof
of ID and everything. And of course, we know it negatively impacts predominantly Labour voters because they're disproportionately don't have the driving licence and the passport. If everybody did
Boris
have
Johnson.
Yeah, but if everybody did have a national ID card, that would level that particular playing field.
It's a digital card, though, so I don't know if you'd be able to use that as voter ID unless they have like a whole system.
If that's the case, forget it.
I think it's a digital thing. I think Alex will look at it in the edit, but I'm pretty sure it's a digital ID thing that they would look for. Kind of like how they do sales.
Is it on your phone?
It could be on your phone. It could be like how they did the whole EU settled status thing, where it'd be like codes and all sorts of nonsense. Everyone hated that system. That system is so shit. So like it could be something like the settled status thing, where maybe they put a code into like a Home Office website and they're like, oh, that's you, you know, you've been here forever or whatever. But you know, the whole job application process is you give them a passport anyway. So I don't get what the point of it is, unless it stops people renewing passports because they have the online ID thing, but I don't know. Because eventually you have to change your picture anyways on the digital ID. I don't know. That, and you're going to need all the database and stuff. And given how shit government IT always is, I've got no faith in them to do that. So I'd be more surprised at who gets the contract to set something like this up, to be honest. That's what I'd be looking at. That's just
I found out, did any of you see Tucker Carlson's 9/11 documentary? Are you even aware of that? There was one wild claim where he said just before 9/11 happened, the CIA or the FBI or both was so outdated in their tech, right? I think he claimed it's in the actual 9/11 report. They had no, this is, so what, 2001, right? They had no scanning system and ID or identification had to be sent via mail, like hand delivered. And then he claimed, right, that in order to save a file, you had to press 12 buttons to save a file. And you were like, what fucking tech? Like, I remember the Amstrad and the Amiga. I do not remember it taking 12 buttons.
It sounds like a start of your mum joke. Your security service is so shit, you have to press 12 buttons to save a document. what IT system requires this? There's no way. That's he's chatting shit. There's no way. There's
that
no way.
The report, and I've heard other news agents. I only came across the Tucker Carlson investigation in 9/11 because of the Young Turks. And again, you could take all these organizations with a pinch of salt. I've never read the 9/11 Commission report. I just thought that was quite an interesting thing. He could be lying, but it's such a weird thing to lie about.
The only Tucker Carlson clip you need is the one where Jon Stewart dissed him for wearing a bow tie, and then he stopped wearing bow ties. That's the only Tucker Carlson thing I want to ever hear about. because that scene is infamous.
Now, this is theater. I mean, it's it obvious. How old are you?
35.
And you wear a bow tie.
Yeah, I do. I do. So, I hate so at all. I do think you're more fun on your show, just my opinion.
But
John Stewart goes one-on-one with his fans.
You're as big a dick on your show as you are on any show.
So when it comes to government and tech and using it, I mean, do you remember when the Nadine Doris's like stint as the digital?
That was. I will not have you besmirch Nadine Doris on that video. That video is hilarious. That video is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. Forget government comms in any company's history. It was so good.
The UK is passing some new legislation to make the internet safer for the younger generation. It's effectively a framework to protect internet users from scams, illegal content and anonymous abusers. It will force big tech to stop their terms being breached and puts in measures to defend free speech. But is it true it will impact freedom of expression? No, we put in legal protections in the 19th section. Another thing we're doing through the laws we're passing is tackling online crime and cyber flashing. If companies fail to comply with the law, fail to protect the users that they're responsible for, the regulator Ofcom will have the power to fine. So platforms must keep people safe online.
She had music in the background. She was doing gestures. I was laughing so much. It was great. It was a great video. Explained concisely what she was doing as well, which most government comms don't even do. You know, the safest government poster
internet.
Off. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you had the government comms of Fatima doesn't know it yet, but she's gonna have a job in cyber. That shit's trash. Get me those videos with the stupid music any day of the week. That was great. I loved it.
Okay, well, if we're gonna talk Nadine Doris, unless there's anything else you guys want to say, I'm happy to switch over to Reform on that lovely segue.
She did join Reform, to be fair. So yeah, you've got a good one, I think.
Yeah. She did, didn't she? Yeah. Andrew Jenkins. I mean, all these very reputable, intelligent.
Andrew Jenkins, I think, gave herself a massive pay rise recently. So,
are you joking?
No, she's a mayor, right?
Yeah, of Lincolnshire, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she gave herself a massive pay rise. Yeah.
How much are we talking? You Google it. Can we get you to do a?
Are we doing a live fact check?
I think we're going to do a fact check because I want to know. Because I've got a funny feeling it was an extra 100K.
It was, I think,
you've jogged my memory, and I'm like, can't be. How can she give herself a pay rise?
They said there wouldn't be any pay rise, any fact checks on this one. That's what Trump said.
No.
Yeah, Mayor asked. No, she hasn't given herself. Sorry, she's asked for it. Okay, I misspoke. Mayor asked for an extra £147,000 to help answer emails.
Okay, so it's not her own pay.
Someone's kind of missed on it. But she might be asking for it. Has asked for a 147K increase in her office budget to employ people to help her. So she wants a bigger team then. That's not as fun. That's why we have edits. But someone framed it as she asked for a 147K pay rise. So yeah, sorry, Andrea. But she's fake working on singing though. Yeah,
it's fake news.
Yeah.
But... However, her comments about Trump, ducks, swans, that was all true. She thinks people are going around eating ducks in Boston. You aware of this, Rob?
But people eat duck. People can eat ducks anyways, right? I've never tried it, but people eat duck. French people love eating duck, so suddenly that's a problem.
Do you reckon they're up there like with dogs and cats? I am bringing in Trump here a bit, but also like, because it's all batshit coming out of Reform right now.
They just make up anything, to be honest. They're gonna be like, they're eating squirrels next. Like,
what's wrong with that if you want to eat a squirrel?
Yeah, they're going to be like a public... I don't know, man. I don't get it personally, but...
Rob, you're about to tell us you're a vegan vegetarian, aren't you?
I've done very well. You've had me on screen for quite a few minutes now, and I've not mentioned that I'm vegan, so I thought I did very well. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. With the whole ducks thing.
I agree. What's the difference between eating a pig and eating a duck or a squirrel? I don't get it. It's all animals. It's all rotting flesh, as far as I'm concerned.
You're the second person who said that, and I'm just like, eh.
Are we heading into a Pulp Fiction conversation?
No, it's okay. Personality. I like the Pulp Fiction stuff. That's great. But honestly, man, I don't... They just make anything up and people believe it. That's the worst thing. Or people want to believe it. It's like when Joe Rogan talked about how kids are dressing up as cats and they use a litter box and then it was debunked. And he was like, but imagine if that was true. Imagine if people were eating swans and all this kind of stuff. Like, parks are like visited by lots of people. If someone's trying to fight a swan, you'd know about it. Like, swans are notoriously very loud creatures.
So we get into this like ethical conundrum where we've got people, a third of the people in the country have naught to £250 in savings. They live paycheck to paycheck. if they were that desperate for nutrition, what is the ethical argument to say that they shouldn't go and hunt squirrel, duck, swan if their job is not paying their bills and their rent?
Can I just fact check, Madge? I've got to fact check, Madge. I can't just sit here and let that go. I'm sorry, Madge.
Yeah.
Do you hear what he said, Alex? He said swans are notorious for being very loud creatures. Why are they called mute swans if they...
Because they're the quiet ones. All I've seen is the fucker from Hot Fuzz, right? I'm pretty sure it was barking at dude and it snapped his arm.
They are
maybe
supposed...
ducks are loud.
There is a supposed... We're going to have a fact check again, aren't we, Madge?
Oh, my days. Oh, God. I'm going to debunk twice in one podcast. It's going to be great. Our swans loud.
Well, they're meant to be strong enough for their wings if they hit you in the right time or the right place that they could break you up.
They can't.
Google AI.
Rumor.
Guess what my brother does for a living? Guess what he does for a living?
What's the Royal Parks of the Swan?
He is the swan herd.
Is he?
He's the swan herd. That's his living. Yeah.
No way.
I won't say where he works, but he is. He's a swan herd. That is his living, and he's been doing it for 40-odd years. So
swans, don't make noise.
Any questions you have about swans, just ask me. If I don't know, I'll ask my brother.
I'm looking at the Google AI here. Ultron has said, yes, swans can be loud, though their noise level depends on the species and context. While the mute swan's mute name is a misnomer, as it makes loud honks and snorts during fights, flights even, I think that is, my glasses, and the wings produce high-pitched sounds, so, you know, they're not very quiet.
All right, then, I'm back there.
Ducks are also very loud. I have to walk past them all the time, and they make this stupid sound. It sounds like they're laughing at me.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But I'm a bit like, do they want them starving? Like, what's... Or is it because the swans are owned by the king?
They just don't like people. Yeah, I mean, you kind of, like, if you're fighting swans in the park for food, it does kind of ruin the mood of the park, you know? So I'm just here, just chilling, you know, chilling big with my ice cream. That's definitely not 99p, even though it claims to 99, fuming. And you're fighting
a swan. You
don't
have the same thing with a deer.
Yeah, but I think...
And they have Bambi. Bambi was one of the biggest movies in like 2-3 decades, and no one had a problem with killing deer and eating deer. You can go to any shop and get venison, but you can't get swan.
It's what Rob said, and it's like, where do you draw the line? It's like, you know, when the whole horse meat thing happened in the UK, where companies were using horse meat instead of like cow meat or something like that. The French were like, "Yeah, who gives a shit?" Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah," I kind of see what they mean by that, and also. Still, you should really label stuff properly. But the whole point is, like, where do people draw the line on stuff? And, you know, even though the French eat frog's legs, they've kind of got a point.
That's nails.
One of the rare times I'll agree with the French, which is a strange year for me. So,
fair enough.
They had two wins this year. That's all I'm
going to say. By the way, it was a load of bollocks, and Reform are spouting it out exactly like Trump. And Trump was talking about them eating cats and dogs, which was also complete.
In Springfield... They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Swans were being eaten in rural parks in this country. That carp were being taken out of ponds and eaten in this country by people who come from cultures that have a different... Would you agree it happened? Is happening here? Neither is can prove or disprove.
Who are taking the carp and the swans?
People who come from countries where that's quite acceptable.
Well, I've read headlines that it's Eastern Europeans, Romanians and people like that.
So I believe.
It's because people want to believe it, man. I'm telling you, people want to believe, like, if you don't like a group of people, you want to believe the most heinous things about them. And people want to believe, like, people that come into this country will just eat, like, anything they can find because they're animals. And that's why we have to, like, stop migration and deport people. That's what they want. They just want to believe all this kind of nonsense because that's all they care. They hate other people.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to drop what I did this week. I went and saw Barack Obama live in O2. Which was very, very cool. And he got talking on the subject about populism and the rise of populism, why it's happening, and the pushback we could do against it. And he definitely cited that it was an issue within the UK without obviously name-dropping Farage or Reform. The interesting thing I thought was that he said an interesting term. He said, and it sort of jolted something in my head. He brought up the fact that they were talking about blood and soil as being their like sort of core populist aims. And then he popped out and I was like, yo, yeah, I mean, that's Farage, isn't it? You've just brought it up. They create this identity and they create this ethos that people are coming into the country are culturally inferior. And you go, well, there's the blood. And then the soil is the fact that they keep thinking that if they kick all the migrants out, then they'll suddenly be able to free up hospital places, despite the fact there'll be no doctors and there'll be no nurses.
We'll train our own, mate.
We'll train our own with no one.
Rob can be a doctor. Rob, I'm sure you could. Alex with the scalpel. Yeah, you guys.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You should retrain. You just retrain, mate.
Just retrain, yeah.
Yeah, just retrain.
Yeah, a couple of months.
What's your diagnosis, Rob, on what he's saying about Barack Obama? What's your diagnosis? Yeah.
Well, it sounds like hero worship, doesn't it? But
you're not a fan.
Yeah, no, I am. I don't. Well, I do you remember the Michael Moore documentary about the
Michigan,
flammable tap water?
And I remember
the only thing that I remember of Barack Obama on the negative side is he went there and pretended to drink the water to reassure everybody. And he wasn't actually drinking it. And that one scene sort of just darkened my judgment of him a little bit, to be honest.
Me too. And the use of missiles and the immigration deportation.
In Obama's defense, if only he had the chance to actually deal with the kind of issues that, you know, would have stopped populism in America from happening. You know, I'm sure if he had the chance to be president, he would have done a much better job and stopped, you know, the rise of people like Trump.
Rather than Biden, you mean?
No, I meant like, because he was president, he didn't do much. And then him came Trump. But if only he had the chance.
He never had both the Senate and the House of Congress.
Yeah, their system.
He only ever had one or the other, didn't he?
Yeah,
didn't do a lot with either with anything he had, though. And then he did more foreign wars, so maybe he spent less money on blowing people up.
Yeah. And of course, Trump's achieved an awful lot through executive orders.
He also vetoed a lot of UN resolutions that would have stopped Israel as well in settlements and things. So yeah, that's great.
What was the thing? Did he help the beginning of the recognition of Palestine, though, by making the US abstain from voting?
That was one of the last decisions he made, wasn't it? Yeah.
Which is quite interesting. And then the UK and Canada and Australia just piled in as well this week.
I don't think his decision about a decade ago really did much. I think they're trying to put as much pressure on Israel as they can for the two-state solution, which, you know, you need two states for that to exist, although Netanyahu doesn't seem to know that or doesn't understand it. But I think the amount of pressure like international leaders are under, I think, is one of the reasons why they want to actually do something, because they're going to be in the history books of doing absolutely nothing. You know, when everyone's like, oh, I can't believe, Nazis got away with all this stuff in Germany. Why didn't anyone do anything? It's like, you've seen it live. You know, a bunch of world leaders are like, oh, Israel, can you stop that, please? And it's like, no, do something. And no one else.
Well, Eric Cantona came out this week and was like, kick them out of...
Ooh, Cantona, yeah.
4 days after Russia started the war in Ukraine, FIFA and UEFA suspended Russia. We are now 716 days into what Amnesty International have called a genocide. And yet Israel continue to be allowed to participate. Why? Why the double standards? FIFA and UEFA must suspend Israel. Clubs everywhere must refuse to play Israeli teams. Current players everywhere must refuse to play against Israeli teams. We all remember apartheid in South Africa. The sporting boycott was critical in ending apartheid in South Africa. So we have power. You have power. And football fans around the world have power. Those teams represent you. It's time for everyone to get off the sidelines. Who will follow me? You? You will follow me? Do you think Israel must be suspended by FIFA and UEFA? You can't say yes because you have power.
UEFA?
Yeah, they should. Speech. They kicked out Russia for the same thing in Ukraine, kicked them out of Eurovision, kicked them out of a lot of different things, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I think his point's
There's
fair.
There's a slight difference. I mean, slight, you know, both sides have been putting pressure on the other, but Ukraine didn't send troops in first. to Russia and then Russia retaliated. The argument, his whole... I'm not saying I agree. The argument would be that October 8th happened and then the retaliation happened and it went overboard.
Yeah, like, they've always been. Yeah.
But the caveat is they've been, Israel's clearly been following a policy of that of the Native American. Yeah. You put settlers in the vicinity or on their territory or move them into their actual property and create a stir. They push back and then you can retaliate more, which is exactly what the Americans did with the Native Americans.
Yeah. Nothing excuses what Hamas did on October 7th. There's no one can ever make an excuse for what they did. And I'm not making an excuse for them. What Israel has done is consistently go on a campaign of just massive expansions wherever, you know, in parts of the West Bank where there's no Hamas. So, like, there's no defense for what they're doing as well. Like, no one can say, like, they're dealing with Hamas by going to the West Bank. With the Russia thing, I think Putin's argument was he's trying to protect people in the Donbass because the civil war is still ongoing at that point, which is complete nonsense anyways, because, you know, he helped spark that civil war, you know. So yeah, but both these kind of groups coming up with absolute nonsense arguments. But, you know, no one's really doing anything about it. They've, you know, put sanctions on Russia, but everyone knew that wasn't going to do much because he planned around them.
Yeah, well, you know, to an extent.
I think for the most part, to be fair, he didn't think this war would drag on this long, though. He thought he'd have dealt with it in about a month.
And then that's it. So, and then you can get rid of the sanctions and calm everything down afterwards once he's probably just pop it.
It's what he did with Crimea. But yeah. So.
And no one did anything, including Trump. Although he says he could have stopped all the other stuff.
There's a lot of things. Like, he's that or make or anything. He'd say, like, if he was around during, you know, if he was an adult during the moon landings, he would have been there instead of Neil Armstrong. I'm sure he'd claim that as well. You know, if he played football, he'd have scored more goals than Cristiano Ronaldo. That guy would claim anything. Yeah, you know, he could have claimed anything. If he didn't go into real estate, he would end up as Batman. I'm sure he would have. He just said that as well. Yeah, we got him in the episode. We did it.
I want to go back a bit.
Sorry, Rob.
Rob, I want your thoughts because it was something we were talking about off air. Do you think reform's starting to unravel? Because we've had Jenkins. Sorry. We had Andrew Jenkins this week being nuts.
The problem is, Andrew, there's now a pattern of reform politicians saying things that, frankly, the people who are actually at the front line of these things go, there's no evidence for this.
But can I just say, look, I was a councillor in Boston, and there was a serious issue with our ducks on the river with them being stolen and eaten. It is a fact. Come to Boston, ask the local people.
I mean, I don't know about the case in Boston, but in this case
and that's
here,
going back 10 years
there is
ago.
Clearly no evidence.
Well, clearly, would you like to come to Boston?
Andrea.
Are you doing yoga there or something? You know, to try and calm yourself from, you know, speaking on a panel with somebody who's in reform? I mean, very bizarre reaction you have there.
Andrew, but there is no evidence for this. You accept that? I mean, the people
well,
literally...
I've seen evidence in Boston myself 10 years ago of the ducks.
We're not talking about Boston. We're talking about Swans and Royal Parks. Your leader went on the radio and said he had heard or he...
Well, he'd heard.
Yeah, but you can't just go around saying you've heard stuff, can you?
Apparently you can. The Royal Parks, who run the park, said there was absolutely no evidence of this. It is extraordinary.
Well, do you think they'd actually want to put that out there?
We had Farage being nuts. We had Richard Tice being nuts.
Your health advisor, Asim Mahotra...
No, stop there.
OK.
That is a disgraceful slander, and I want you to apologise.
Sorry?
That is a disgraceful slander. He is not a health advisor. He's never been a health advisor.
OK.
And I want you to apologise.
I apologise.
Right.
I apologize.
Start again.
I know this chap because he worked with me to write Reform UK's health policy.
All about different things, either conspiratorial or refusing to criticise Trump.
The president, that he believes immigrants are eating people's cats and dogs in Ohio. Is he onto something?
Whenever he says something like this, that sounds absolutely crackers, in the end, there always proves to be some truth in it.
You think Haitian immigrants are eating cats and dogs in Ohio?
I'll have a tenner with you. That within the next month or so, we find some evidence of it. What the scale of it is, I've no idea.
But you do think some cats and dogs are being eaten in Springfield, Ohio?
I think Trump generally, when he says these things, is proved to be right.
And the poll ratings have gone down this week when I checked. Like, I think they lost 2 to 3 points. What are your thoughts, Rob? Are they ever
on one survey, I think it's I'm trying to think what they called More in Common. In 1 week, Reform's lead over Labour has shrunk from 9.3 in 1 week.
Oh, wow. So it's lost six.
Yeah, they've lost 2/3 of their lead in 1 week. That's obviously hot on the heels of, when you think of what when the field work was done, this is hot on the heels of his grip and grin meeting with Trump in the Oval Office, his absolute evisceration at the congressional hearing when he was comparing his own country to North Korea.
At what point did we become North Korea?
And the voters don't like it. And obviously, you know, Farage has been very good at surfing this tide of anger, but I think that only takes you so far. And I might be being the eternal optimist, but I really do think that that wave is beginning to break now. I think as the voters in the UK really get to learn more about what reforms stand for, the more they learn about them, the less they like them. I mean, obviously, it's all about immigration, the focus on the small boats and things. But beyond that, what do they really believe in? They're very much against the green agenda, which, as I've said already in this programme, I mean, this is one of the main breaks on the UK economy. We're not investing in the energy sector and many other sectors as well. They're threatening to get rid of all sorts of regulations in terms of public safety, employment rights, just basically the guardrails that they're in place at the moment to keep us a safe and just society. They want to remove them all. They want to get rid of banking regulations. They want to get rid of environmental protections. And when people really come face to face with what that would be as an impact on their lives, this is not what the voters want.
No.
So the more they get informed about reform, the less they like them.
Did you see the Vox pops that were done on those topics where they were finding reform voters? Like they had one guy dressed up in a Union Jack suit, like little mini Union Jacks all over. And he was going, oh, and it was satire. And he was going up to people, reform voters, and saying, oh, you're a reform voter. And they're like, yes. And it's like, don't you hate it when people just say that we've only got one policy, which is immigration? It's like, yeah, that's so not true. Yeah. Can you tell us what the other policies are?
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Silence. They had no clue about anything else.
So what annoys me is that everyone thinks that reform are all about hating immigrants.
No, it's a load of rubbish.
But I think there's so much more to us than that.
Oh, most definitely.
Of course there is. Of course there is.
What other reform policies do you like?
I mean, I can't name off like off the top of my head.
To be honest with you, I can't remember them all now.
Shall I help you out?
No. Give me a second.
What other reform policies do you like?
Spend more money on the NHS.
That's actually not one of our policies.
So we want to cut public services by £150 billion.
Wow.
Okay.
And then there was, I think it was the TUC went and did another vox pop in Clacton. And it's exactly what you said. They were like, do you think, you know, you should be fired after if you're ill for too long? Do you think you should be able to get sick pay after being ill for an amount of time? Do you think your contracts should be cut whenever you want? And they're like, no. And then they were like, well, that's what Nigel's voted for. Yeah. And then the real kicker was, and this said so much about how they view Nigel, they're like, I'm going to go and talk to Nigel. Nigel, you can't do that. I'll have words with him. And it's like, you have no chance. You have to see how has he positioned himself in such a way that people who would vote for him don't realize they can't go anywhere near him and he will have little or nothing to do with you?
They see this guy that they could go and have a drink with down the pub, big smoker, big drinker of real beer and all the rest of it. I don't think they even know that he's privately educated. I don't think they know that he's an ex-commodities trader. I don't think they know that the major donors to the Reform Party are oligarchs like Aaron Banks and people that really do not have the interests of the Reform voters at heart. These are people that are on the side of the big corporations that want to get rid of consumer and worker protections. And I'm sorry, I sound like a liberal, wet-minded, out-of-touch person, but they've been had. Anybody that says they're voting reform, unless they're in the top 1% of the wealthiest in this country, they're being had. They're falling for a con. Farage is a grifter. He's a fake.
I'll add to that. And again, it was something else that Obama said. He said that one of the key issues he thinks society is having in the West was that this ethical approach to government seems to have gone to the wayside. And that if you have that, you're considered a bit hippie, namby-pamby, for want of a better description, weak, wet, whatever, and that you're over-emotional. And I then went,
Farage has said he wants to run government like a business. And you, I think, I can't remember if you said it earlier or off air, you, I think you said running it like a household finance, which you can't do. And you're going, government isn't business. It's not there to make a profit. It's a different dynamic. But it's so telling that they want to run it like a business. And you're going, so you'll cut out all that ethical stuff that you need to think about and replace it with just numbers and making a profit, which doesn't exist in government. Like, and yet, so few people have picked up on that in the press and pulled them up on it and being, you realise that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just a complete naivety, Alex. I mean, what, just picking out one thing that Richard Tice said. He said last week, I think, that he wants to cut the number of people employed in HMRC by half, and that's going to save X billion. But he doesn't think of the next stage. Where are those people going that he sacked from HMRC? All the tax they're paying back to the Treasury from their salary, they're going to go on the dole, a lot of them. We're going to end up paying unemployment benefit to them, other benefits perhaps. You know, this massive, he just looks at the salaries and said, we're going to save that amount by adding up all the salaries in the National Insurance Company. And it's just, you know, my cliche with reform, it's not that simple. I think you'll find it's more complicated than that. And I think that should be a motto that every time that reform is seen, you know, on the telly or you're watching a podcast, they should have the strap line at the end. I think you'll find it's more complicated than that. And that is basically the answer to everything reform say.
I'll add further to that. And again, it was interesting hearing Obama talk about this, and it was in relation to AI. And you got the impression, because he's set up a number of organizations after being a president, he's been keeping a keen eye on it. He sort of hinted that he's still talking to a lot of the tech people that he met when he was president. They've kept in contact. And he was basically saying a lot of the white collar jobs are going to go. And he cited them, and it's stuff that I've witnessed. And I've talked about it off air to people. Lawyers, accountants, they're going to lose their jobs. Like, very rapidly, he reckoned, in the next 5 to 10 years, they're just going to go, because you'll just go to an AI. And he said he said it won't completely go. He said the very high-end people will stay because they'll still have use and people will still want to interact with humans instead of getting the AI over. But he said it'll just be the very top echelons. And we're already seeing that within, I think there was a report that came out this year from a newspaper saying that one law company was no longer hiring low-level people. Yeah.
Paralegals, yeah.
And I'm going, you've got a bunch of guys that are going to come in and they literally want to take us to an era of classic liberalism with a smattering of racism and Victorian-esque Christian values. And you're going, I'm going, we've got AI coming. We've got climate change coming. We need people who are really up to date with tech and how it works and how to come up with really good solutions. Are they really the people that you want in charge to deal with AI, when their attitude is to go back to the Victorian era and stick little kids up chimneys? You're like, fucking hell. Like, so they have no moral compass. They care about numbers more than people. And they're more interested in old values of the 1900s than you've got to deal with this AI problem. We will be fucked if they get in power. I will say that now, because I'm hearing their policies. And the stuff that I've said that are 21st century problems, they won't fix. The 22nd century stuff is almost on our doorstep. They have no chance of solving any of those problems. And I think for me, and I'm sorry to rant like this, if they get anywhere near power, we are absolutely fucked. Shall we end the show there?
Very good.
Is that a fair... Is that a fair assessment?
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Trump being a wackadoodle as well?
But me?
Yeah.
I mean, what's to be said? I mean, you know, he's let's remember who he is. He's a TV personality from a game show. And he still thinks that he's a TV host on a game show, the way he's running the White House, doesn't he? It's just a game to him. It's just a demanding fealty from people. It's all about the ratings. He's just treating it all like a TV show. He's creating his own Truman Show for himself. Blending reality with television experience.
What did you think of Kimmel coming back then?
Well, I'm a big, you know, I'm not just saying this, but I watched, and whenever he's on air, I watch, because they have quite big breaks from here, but I watch Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert religiously. And of course, Stephen Colbert's also been cancelled. his show finishes next summer. Theoretically, given that what CBS have said, who is the employer, because it doesn't make sense, they're making X amount of dollars loss each year. But the fact is, his viewership figures are higher now than they've ever been. So
Kimmel or Colbert?
Colbert, yeah. And of course, well, Kimmel is now having the hugest audiences he's had ever, thanks to Donald Trump. So Donald Trump's actually given
Do
his,
you remember when the Big Breakfast got cancelled?
No, I don't. What,
Chris, did you ever watch The Big Breakfast?
I remember The Big Breakfast, yeah. Chris.
Denise Van Outen and Johnny...
Oh, yeah, see, I'm going back. I'm older than you. I remember Chris Evans doing
Chris
it.
Chris Evans as well. I grew up with them because they had Zig and Zag, so you ended up watching it and then realised it was like adult humour being embedded within all of it. And
yeah,
was it Bob Geldof jumping on the bed with...
Paula Wilcox.
Yeah, was that the... Yeah, that got way out of control.
Yeah.
I remember watching some of that, but it was just... It's just something that's quite interesting because they've now set this deadline on Colbert and he knows he's going to go and he's going to get paid whatever. I think he might start to see that he's got more and more freedom and his ratings will continue to go up because he's gone, okay, unleash... Like, you're going to fire me anyway. I'm a multimillionaire. The end's coming. I'm going to just start releasing stuff that's just is more and more controversial and less restricted.
He's worth watching, Stephen Colbert. I mean, the thing, you know, Donald Trump picking a fight with both Kimmel and Colbert. It's not just Kimmel and Colbert. They've got hundreds of people working for them, a large proportion of whom are incredibly talented and witty scriptwriters.
Mm.
So when Trump takes on Colbert or Kimmel, he's taking on a whole team of professional scriptwriters who are witty, incisive. Yeah, he's on a loser with it. He's going to come off worse, Trump, I'm sure.
What do you think, Madge?
I don't know. I only watch Jon Stewart because Jon Stewart's funny. but I think going after comedians is never really a good idea, to be honest. And it does show you, like, when it comes to cancel culture, they cancelled the guy. You know, they put pressure on his employer and they said, look, fire him or you're looking at losing your license. So
I find the interesting thing with that, because I keep hearing it, is that they got backlash. Like, a bunch of celebrities came in. I think, Rob, you said off air that Disney lost a huge number, so many subscriptions.
The website crashed. People were unsubscribing from Hulu and Disney Plus. It crashed their site.
But the other thing was they were on a roll with what happened with Charlie Kirk. I'm going to be careful here because I don't condone what happened to Charlie in any way, shape, or form. It was interesting watching Kimmel come off. He was almost in tears and choked up about what happened to Kirk, which is fascinating to see. I was not expecting that to be the thing that got him. But it was interesting to see that they were on this road to, we're going to terminate the left, we're going to get rid of it. And if they just stuck on that path instead of putting pressure to have, they were on the path of saying that Kimmel had to be removed from TV. It sort of took the wind out of the sails from this big push they were having to say that the left have gone too far and they need to be removed. It almost took the wind out of the sails. But that, did anyone else notice that or?
Not massively. I've not followed this story a ton, to be honest with you. After he got shot, I was just like, yeah, it's pretty bad.
You've not been following at all?
Not really. I heard of Jimmy Kimmel like losing his job over the Trump, but I think Trump and the FCC put pressure on Disney to get him gone or they would revoke the license. But that's about it, really. I've seen some people talk about how it's the left who killed him or whatever, and then everyone's like, the guy who killed Charlie Kirk was a massive right winger, and they're like, oh, but it's the language the left use. I'm like, bro, just he's one of your guys. Like, your guy killed your guy. Like, grow up.
Well, it's funny you say that because there were newspaper reports coming out 6 days ago saying Russia was starting to interfere and pump in false information. And then you had the right-wing conspiracy theorists for the last 5 days going nuts. They were saying that Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica Kirk, was doing satanic signs, that she was working for Israel, that she benefited off the money, that the assassination didn't make any sense, that the bullet came in from a different area. It made no sense that the bullet didn't exit the wound. Then you had footage being released saying the bullet did exit the wound, even though it looked fake. You had conspiracy theorists talking about that. You had people questioning about the gun. And this was a wide range. It was YouTubers, TikTokers, but also Joe Rogan was questioning the narrative. And you're going, fucking hell. Like, America just looks absolutely fucked. And the biggest irony, I thought, was the fact that the head conspiracy theorist, Donald Trump, has created this on-steroid conspiracy theory
belief in America, especially after January 6th. And it's now coming back to bite them because you're going, you've got MAGA supporters suggesting Charlie Kirk's wife was the beneficiary of Charlie Kirk's death. And you're going, what on earth is going on in the States?
And this is all a distraction from the Epstein files, which again is coming back to beat him, Alex, just as you were saying, because, you know, he spent all those years building up these conspiracy theories, promising to release the Epstein files, and he ain't doing it.
Did you see he said paracetamol, Tylenol, which is their version of it or whatever, the company that makes it, gives people autism or gives kids autism, and they said, that's nonsense, release the Epstein files. The company came out and said that.
Are you joking?
No.
What a lovely retort.
Have a look. I saw it. I'm on Twitter, yeah, and I'm just like, oof. Like, yeah, they said, that's cute. Release the Epstein files, so.
Don't give Tylenol to the baby.
It's been a rough week for Tylenol. Hi, I'm Kirk Perry, CEO of Kenvue, the company behind Tylenol. And I just want to say, we hear you. You don't want you or your future children to have autism. That's why we're proud to announce Tylenol No Autism, or Tylenol Nautism. With Tylenol Nautism, we've decided to remove the ingredient...
Acetaminophen.
Completely out of our formula. Same fast release, now with zero autism technology. No longer will you need to fear your child having incredible memory and never forgetting your birthday. No longer will you need to worry about your child having expert knowledge of computers before they even reach middle school. No longer will you need to think about your kid having exceptional pattern recognition and pointing out that you only flip-flop when the man in charge tells you to do so. The pill inside this bottle isn't on the spectrum anymore. It's off spectrum. So if you're an ignorant little sheep that believes that this is anything more than the man in charge of the country lining the pockets of his buddies with even more wealth and continue to perpetuate unwarranted stigma around autism, then maybe Tylenol Nautism is for you. See you at the pharmacy.
Did you see Nick Ferrari Nigel Farage on as a guest and asked him if he supported Trump's assertion that there was a link between Tylenol and autism?
Awesome.
And Farage couldn't bring himself. He didn't have the balls to say, no, he's talking crap.
He never does that.
Who knows? I'm not a doctor. I don't know. It's like pathetic. He always does that.
So let's wait and see. Yeah. And then, you know, Trump eventually backs down.
Yeah, I'm just asking questions. Oh.
That's his classic. He loves doing that. He loves asking questions.
Yeah.
So does Eric Carlton.
Nigel, who paid for your girlfriend to buy the house? You know, was it a Russian donor? I'm just asking questions. Yeah. Don't get mad at me. I'm just asking. You know, I'm putting out in the ether, you know. Nigel, where'd you get the money from?
Was it Donald Trump? Is that why he won't criticize Donald Trump?
No, I'm just asking questions, Nigel.
Just asking questions. I have no idea what the answer is. I'm just asking questions. I just want to know what the answer is. Why is it that you cannot criticize Donald Trump? Have you ever criticized Donald Trump? Are you in the Epstein files? I'm just asking questions.
How did she buy a house that's worth her net worth? How does that make sense?
And why is he such a fanboy of Putin as well? Why did he say that Putin was the leader that he most admired in the whole world? What's that all about? Just asking questions.
Just asking questions.
Could have done a segment on questions we'd ask Nigel Farage. That'd be great.
Go on then. What's the question you'd ask Nigel Farage? We each got one question. What would you ask?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one, you know. There's so much I'd want to ask him. Do you feel like you can represent working class people being privately educated? That's what I'd ask him.
Rob?
I mean, what's the point of asking him a question? Because you're not going to get a genuine honest
answer. Rhetorical questions. That's what we're going to ask him. Ask him a rhetorical one.
You might wind him up, though, which is quite satisfying, because any time I've seen a reporter ask him about his finances...
Yeah, he gets very short.
Did you also back Brexit because you got kicked by a horse?
Yeah,
the greatest LBC clip ever.
Yeah.
On that note, thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for the invite on again. Nice to meet you, Madge.
You too, Rob. Likewise. Lamp.
Manufactured today is the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers. Bye.
Tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.
Rob, I'm going to ask you a question. You've got to pick one of these two choices.
Okay.
You're going to be stuck on a desert island for a year, but there happens to be one TV, but it can only pick up one of two channels. If you change channel, you will lose the TV. Do you pick Fox News, Talk TV, or GB News?
Oh, good grief. That's like saying, yeah, would you rather eat a shit sandwich or stick your head up a dead bear's bum? I don't know. listen, I think I'd probably go... I can't remember a name, but there is one liberal commentator on Fox News who's really worth listening to. That, you know, she goes on Fox and Friends and things. So I think I'd probably say Fox News. Also because I'm scared to go to America anymore after launching my channel 3 years ago and all the anti-Trump stuff I've said. I'm not so invested in American politics. I mean, I have worked out there a lot and stuff in the past, but I've not been for years. So I think Fox News would, it's a bit more arm's length. It's like the difference between somebody stabbing you in the arm or stabbing you in the eye. You know, you can sort of dissociate yourself a bit from a stab in the arm. In the eye, it's like too up close and personal. So that's why I go Fox News. It's like being stabbed in the arm rather than being stabbed in the eye. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. It's just hilarious. It's like I watch Fox News. It's like being stabbed in the arm.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Oh dear. Sorry. That's quite funny. Okay, Madge.
Come.
Same conundrum, but you got a DVD player, and once you put the DVD in, you can't pick anything else.
Okay.
Do you pick Doctor Who, except every time the Daleks turn up, it's Boris Johnson with a plunger and a whisk instead of the Daleks talking like a Dalek.
Okay.
Or do you pick Game of Thrones, but the dragons are Boris Johnson flying in with a, what's the thing that he used to, fuck, what's the line that he used?
I don't know, but I ain't watched that show, I'll be honest, so I don't know.
Which one?
I ain't watched Game of Thrones, bro, I'll be honest. So
you're not a Game of Thrones fan?
Nah. It just, every time someone spoke to me about it, all they spoke about was it had nudity in it, and I was like, okay, I'm not invested in this show at all. I spoke to someone about it, and that's the one thing they mentioned. I'm just like, bro, I'm not invested in the show.
Okay,
if you wanted a good show, I'll give you
the other option then, which I had in mind. So it's Lord of the Rings.
Oh, shit.
Except Gandalf is played by Boris Johnson.
Oh, no, that's disgraceful. That is kind of that. I'll take Doctor Who with the Daleks being Boris Johnson, that's hilarious because they always lose. So you know the Daleks never
go upstairs.
The Daleks don't win. So and say the better medieval show to watch is Merlin. Anyways, Merlin's a banger show. But I would say I'll take the Daleks because they don't win. You know, at least the dragons do shit from what I heard. But at least Gandalf does shit. Gandalf, real bad man.
It'd be Boris Johnson as Gandalf.
Yeah, I can't have that. That's disgusting. That's wrong. You could have him as the other dude, as Saruman. He could have him as that. That'd be hilarious. Boris Johnson. I feel like that's more of a Boris Johnson thing to be.